Welcome to the Property Premier League, the weekly podcast where property meets Premier League football. I'm your host, Chris Mervin, and joining me are my co-hosts, Jamie Asband, and for this week only, Johnny Hudson. Hello. Each week we'll dive into the world of property and football from the unique perspective of professionals who live and breathe both. As diehard fans of Spurs, Palace and Everton, and Man United today, we know a thing or two about the highs and lows that come with both the beauty of the game and the property market. Whether it's the thrill of a last-minute goal or the challenges of a makeshift market, we've got the highs and lows, stories and insights and banter to keep you entertained. So if you're passionate about property, Premier League football, or both, you're in the right place. Get ready for your weekly dose of all things property and football with the Property Premier League. Let's kick off. So today, special guest, Steve is away on his travels in America. We have had some picture updates, which makes it look fantastic. I hope he's having a fantastic time. And we are joined by Mr. John Hudson.
Hi there.
Hello. Founder of Hudson's in Fitzrovia. Is that correct? Fitzrovia? Yeah.
We're based there. We look after the West End. But yeah, that's good. I just like the way, Chris, you caveated that it's only for 1 week only because you know what's going to come out of my mouth.
Well, I'll either be doing a lot of editing after this or there will be a lot of to and fro with legal teams. But no, I'm sure we'll be fine. You know myself and Jamie anyway from the Property Mark Board, Advisory Board, many moons ago now. I have been to your office as well. Great location, and you're a full service agency as well, aren't you? So you're a Man United fan in London.
Yeah.
With all painful, the rest of the Man United fans. There we go. Got it out of the way. How is it?
There you go.
Happy,
I'm pleased you're happy about that.
How did you become a Man United fan?
Well, I became a Man United fan because my brother supported them. Should I tell you how he became a Man United fan?
Go ahead.
It's an easy one. Once you hear it, then you'll know what. Then you'll go, yeah, it makes sense. Only one of you will remember this player because obviously, Chris, you're too young.
Of course.
But my brother supported Man United because of George Best.
What a player!
What a player!
What a player. It could have supported Fulham.
And he used to drink at a lot of the establishments in the West End, so actually there's a tenuous link there.
So did he admire
his... Man United game with you and your brother, Johnny, didn't I, a while ago
you
when
did
the
indeed.
Car team scored against Everton for Man United?
I'll take your word for it, old boy, but I mean, yes, quite possibly. And I remember you sitting with us trying not to get too excited every time Everton won the ball back in the penalty area.
Yes, exactly that, yeah. And the man that always scored against Everton scored that day. Anthony Martial would score against Everton every time we played you. And he did that day as well.
That's the only team he probably scored against then, apart from the first one he scored against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Okay. Johnny, just tell us a bit about Hudson's Property. You're the founder of the property agency anyway. So founded in 2002 and you're a full service agency, aren't you? You deal with the whole lot. You're down as commercial as well. What does that mean?
Yes.
Just commercial?
Yeah, so that's ultimately what I do. But I was actually, I can't really speak too much about this, but I was looking at a site earlier today. It's about 40 odd thousand square feet for an experiential client of mine, but I'm under an NDA, so I can't tell you exactly what it's about. But what I could say is that it's got a nice link between what this podcast is all around. And let's say no more.
Bad jokes.
I know, it's very exciting. Breaks. I know they're coming. They're coming. Yeah, it's not a venue for bad jokes, I promise you. This is.
Yeah.
That isn't.
You're exactly right. Great. Okay, so let's talk about the property a little bit after we could talk about the results from last weekend, because obviously we're all fans here as well. Some really interesting times. Can I first say RIP to Ange's, obviously, career there at Nottingham Forest. In the last episode of this podcast, in fact, before that, we had a little bit of tip-off there, Jamie, from you, didn't we, about Mr. Dyche. And he's in there. It could be that there's no one else currently who's employed who would work for Maranakis, of course. That could be one of the reasons why he's an easy fit. But he will certainly bring stability to Nottingham Forest, won't he?
I'm going to say it now, he'll do well at Forest. The reason is he's got two decent centre-halves, he's got a goalkeeper, and he only played one of them, but he's got Chris Wood, obviously, who played for him at Burnley, and he's got a Wongi, and their ball goes long. The centre forward's job is to hold the ball up, and then you've got a Morgan Gibbs-White stroke, any other player you can think of is going to get round that ball quickly. I genuinely think he's playing tonight, his first game, Porto, I think it is, and I genuinely think he'll do well at Forest. It's made in the stars. Obviously, he's gone back with Ian Wone, Steve Stone, I can't think of the other one, Billy Mercer, the goalkeeper coach. They're all ex-Forest of a way. And I said to you last week that it was written in the stars that that's where it's going to happen, to go back there.
What was your take on him at Spurs?
He obviously came out and gave a great performance. I mean, if you're going to, you know, have a traffic offence or something like that, you definitely want him maybe representing you in court, because he gives a very credible sort of reasoning there as well, regards to Nottingham Forest in particular and Spurs as well. But it wasn't so much that we finished where we finished in the league, because obviously we won that. And most Spurs fans would take, okay, a not very good finish, but something to win something, because that's what we ultimately wanted. So he actually achieved that. But it was more his in-game management, lack of want to change. And he just couldn't see things which, you know, when you're watching football, you know, especially armchair coaches like myself, you watch it and you think, why are you waiting till now to change it? It's obvious the midfield being overrun. Why don't we do something about it? And he didn't do any of that. And now we've got a coach who acts on it straight away. But we'll talk about, you know, Spurs currently a little bit later when we go about the matches. But yeah, my take on him was thank you, did your job to the point. It was painful. It was really kind of, at the time I was part of a Spurs podcast as well. And it was really painful having to speak about Spurs two, three times a week, because it was the same old story. But in the end, we got something out of it. So you have to say he did his role if that was what he was told to do.
Did you think you're going to win that final, Johnny, out of interest? Obviously, I know you're United, you actually go to games and do it all properly. I know that. But did you think you was going to win that final out of interest, or do you think it was going to be like it was?
I knew it was going to be tight, because it was going to be like a Premier League versus Premier League, which any team could beat anyone on their day. Well, I mean, the final was a bit dire. You had one opportunity, which was a half opportunity, which I think still should have been saved, to be honest. We had a few chances. Your goalkeeper played well for the few chances that we had, and that was it. Really, we didn't play as well as we did in the previous games going up. But it was always going to be tight. There was so much on it, you know. But getting back to Ange, I thought he was quite Spursy, so I thought he would have stayed for a bit longer, you know.
Mate, we can't use that word anymore. We won something, so I would say that. We were kind of lucky in a way where we were really lucky. It was a poor cup competition. The teams in it were fairly poor. We should be doing that and winning it. You should be getting to the final, and we should get to the final. And then playing both teams, we played a Man United team, was arguably the worst Man United team for quite some time at that point. We both did well to get there, to be fair, considering what we did during the league.
I think neither of us actually deserved to get to the Champions League for the seasons that we had. That's the honest truth.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But, you know, we've benefited from that. And, you know, sometimes you stick with people, don't you, if you know their bigger plan. And obviously, Amarin, you know, what are they, 2 points off Liverpool now or something, I think? So, you know, they're quite up there in the league now, aren't they? So,
with two wins, Johnny, would you stick with him now? Would you like to stick with him as a manager, or what's your thoughts on him as a manager?
I have been very supportive of what he's done. I think, like, getting rid of the players he's got rid of is perfect. I've agreed with all of that side of things. I'm the only thing that I dislike is the fact that I think that when you come in somewhere, you've got to always find a way to win with what you have. And I don't think there was enough of that last season, if I'm being honest. But I fully support him, because I saw what he did and what the board. I can see what they're trying to do. I can see progression there. I can see the fact that, you know, we've had some very bad eggs in our club, and you know they will go off and they will play well elsewhere. You know, we made some decisions based, like a lot of teams do now, like selling some of your better young players, like McTominay going was a nightmare, but
crazy.
You know, it was what it was. But You know, I'm pleased for Rashford if he go. I mean, how he got, ever got himself to Barcelona, I've got no idea. Hopefully he plays, continues to play well all season. They buy him 30 million quid, mate. Honestly, he wasn't worth that last season. He wasn't worth 10 million quid last season. So, you know, he is worth a whole lot more money. Of course he is, if he's playing really well, but I don't think he's got it to do it constantly, day in, day out, year in, year out, season after season. So, you know, Sancho, nightmare, you know, get him out of the club.
Yeah, Rashford and people like that. With Rashford and people like that, like, you just don't know if he suits that. You go to a different league, isn't it? It's not like, I know he went to Villa and turned on a little bit, but you go to Barcelona, you're surrounded by that, and you week in, week out. It's just a different type of football, isn't it? It is. And I saw that goal he scored.
It might be more suitable to his game.
Yeah. I saw that goal he scored. He brought it down his left foot, I think, knocked it onto his right foot and killed it from the edge of the box. And I thought, decent finish, but you just don't know if they had more time, more things about when you're playing out there, do you, to be fair?
Yeah, exactly. But from our point of view, I just hope he carries on, we get the money and we can all move on. I don't want him back. I'd never want him back. I just, you know, so for the fact that Amorim came in and did all that, I can really see a way that we want to play. And I was listening to, you know, I do listen to podcasts myself, and people were getting a bit carried away when we lost to Brentford, and we were quite unlucky in that game. There were two really soft goals that we gave away, but, you know, we can't change what happened. And the referee didn't send the player off. We missed the penalty, but we score that penalty and they have one player less. We probably win the game, and it's a different story. So I think at that point, there was a lot of people clambering for his neck. But, you know, I think give him, you know, you've got to give him at least, you know, given the rest of the season, see what style and kind of football we are and where we are in the league.
Would you take Bruno off penalties?
Yeah.
As a Man United fan, would you want, because they obviously...
I've got an interesting perception of Bruno, and I think he's an amazing player, and I think he, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, that goal he sets up against, I'll call them Liverpool. I won't call them what you called them, but I was going to call them the same thing, Jamie. You know, only he can really play that. Only he would try and do that, right? And volley it straight back in, which calls the goal, right? But I think, controversially, we'd be a better team without Bruno.
Yeah. I can see that.
And I love him. I love him. But as a team, I think we might be better off as a team without him.
So it should have took that 100 million.
Who knows?
Going back to Ange, as I've started here, and Dyche, Jamie, you're closer because obviously you've been to Forest quite a few times. Is your lad still represented Forest when he was younger as well?
Not anymore.
But used to, didn't he?
No, still plays around that with the players, yeah, definitely.
Nice. I personally feel that he's going to steady his ship, but Marinakis wants more than that, and that's the problem. I think that he'll steady the ship, and then they'll try and push on again. And I think he's burnt, if you ask me. Managers.
He's only got
18
months contract, which tells you all, really. Because he's got this half season and next season. I think it's 2020, summer of 2027. So it's only like 18 months, but I think he'd have gone in with the basis of, I've got no compensation, I'll come in and do the job. I think he believes in himself. He loved Forest enough to think that if you go back to the Nuno days, Nuno was losing a lot at the start of Forest and people wanted him gone. Whereas I think Dyche will go in, steady the ship. They've got the right squad to play the football he wants to play. And people will be like, oh, this is really good. But then, like you say, come the summer of, maybe not next season, but the season after, there might be someone saying, I want a, because the rumour was they wanted Pellegrini or whatever it was, and he had a big compensation, as does Silver at Fulham. So I think you might, like you say, see in 18 months' time a difference.
I think they, with Ange in particular, you've got to play with the team you've got, like you said, Johnny. And when you try and play like Brazil, when you've got a team which are effectively a river of Ireland, if that makes sense, it just doesn't work, and you haven't got the players to cover and the quality to, you know, when we lost Van de Ven with the speed at the back, when we're playing a high line with no speed in the defence, we're going to get picked off guess what happened? We got picked off. And you don't, if you don't learn from that, you know, if you can see your coach adapting and changing, that's why Frank, even though I've responded to quite a few people on social media this week regarding Spurs being, you know, not pushing on and people being frustrated if it's not winning and taking chances or even creating chances, you can see what he's doing, and that goes a long way. And you can see the pattern. You can see that we're structurally much more compact. And I see that with, it's taking a slow process, but I can see something there with Man U in particular. And, you know, it just takes a bit of time sometimes, doesn't it?
I think Jamie as well. I mean, you obviously, you know, you've got the inside line of Dyche because of Everton. But from my perception, obviously, I think he was really unlucky when he was kicked out of Watford back, because the Posa family, obviously they're quite aggressive with their management, shall we say, sackings, etc. But you know, obviously, he did a really great job at Burnley for a significant amount of time, and he went into Everton at a really difficult time, and it's only when it really it changed for the better. But I think unfortunately his card was marked by then, you know, and they needed that fresh David Moyes type character to go in and now take you forward to the next level, you know. And I think you're very lucky, because I think West Ham, and I've got, you know, some mates in London here, they're all West Ham fans. And they were moaning about the football they were playing, etc. And I just said, well, careful what you wish for. I said, at least you're winning. I said, you've won stuff for the first time forever, you know, that Conference League or whatever. And I said, you know, but fans are fans, and that's why people listen to this podcast, and we all go every week and watch the games, you know.
Yeah, we chatted about Johnny before. To be fair, we chatted about, like, when your team finishes 4-4-4-4-4th, you forget you're finishing fourth. You go, oh, I want to push on now to third or second or first or whatever it is. And then, you know, you just said exactly that. Be careful what you wish for, because you might not finish third. You might finish 18th, and that you've got a problem. So that's where they are. That's where we got to that idea that you just said on the previous podcast. So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I don't think as a coach you can revolutionise the way a team plays and expect massive differences. Sometimes you will do if they've been, you know, they've totally lost faith in the manager. But if you want to push on to the next bit, say for instance a West Ham, why would you employ people who are going to be of the same level and not be that attacking focused and really expansive? But if you do employ somebody who's expansive, like an Ange or whatever, I'm not saying he's the best manager of ever, but because he doesn't change his tactics, but you need to back it up by spending money and bringing those big players in and paying the big wages if you're a club who can't really offer Champions League in particular. So it's going to be tough, isn't it, for a lot of teams. And I can see, obviously, Chelsea winning 3-0 against Forest, which was the nail in the coffin, etc. And the way it was done, pretty poor, to be honest. Apparently he was still in the changing room doing his post-match stuff, and Maranaka's got someone else to do it, to tell him. So, but what would you give? End game with Dyche, he's gone from Watford to Nottingham Forest. Wow, how unstable jobs can you get? Goodness me.
Yeah, we've probably, I mean, at least he's used to that kind of experience. But I hope he does well, though. He's a really nice guy. I know some people that play golf with him on a charity do, and they said what a really lovely guy he is, you know, down to earth.
I think he gets Forest and he will engage the fans. We're having Ian Wone there, Steve Stone. They'll have fan buy-in. They're not an outsider. They are Forest through and through.
And also, Nuno just sat back, soaked up the pressure and hit everyone on the attack. And ultimately, Dyche is a similar style man, whereas Andy was the totally opposite, right? Front foot, go forward, push on.
Yeah. And I think that Nuno also, once Maranakis came onto the pitch and confronted him, the right one was on the wall. So it's more of he was trying to factor in a way to get out of it and still have his own credibility intact, I guess, really. No, I think that looking at it from an outsider's point of view, it could backfire Maranakis anyway with pressure, because you're picking on one of your own, especially if he doesn't get the backing at some points. He knows what's going to happen later on. They need to push on, and they've got a good team, like you said. They've got a good team. And they've proven that.
it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see how it plays out, and also from what's his name going to West Ham as well, because it's going back to a sort of different style of play that the West Ham fans don't want. So,
yeah, that would be interesting. Chelsea though, 3-0, decent. Onwards and upwards. Really, they seem to be ticking along, and got to say, Maresca's
got Forest at the right time, didn't they? To be fair, so.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously at this time of recording, they've played their European match as well with kids and did really well as well. So I think Chelsea in general, they're in a reasonable place, and the fans, from the ones I've talked to, seem to be obviously deluded that they're going to win everything. That's just Chelsea fans, but we'll leave it there. But in general, they feel that, you know, he's a good tactical manager, and he changes things, sometimes not always for the better, but he's got some good players there, and that's without Cole Palmer. But Cole Palmer could be another one of those ones, a bit like your player at Man United, the midfielder there. So he actually, the team works better without having that star player there, because they do things unexpected and the other players don't realise it's going to happen. So you do need a bit of sparkle though.
Well, there's always a place for good players like that. But
of course there is.
When I was mentioning the Bruno thing, and I know it's controversial because, you know, he's a great player, he does amazing things, but I just think, you know, that particular thing might be an issue. But Cole Palmer, I think he's a very exciting talent. But they may be relying on him too much to create something, because I know that he went through tools. Was it the end of last season where he went through a horrible run where he didn't score and didn't set up and was missing chances and stuff?
Yeah, and he's looking dodgy for England. Yeah. He's looking dodgy for the World Cup squad as well, because he's injured. He's not going to come back in time.
There's a lot of players that are going to be fighting to get in there that on paper should be in there, especially your man with the nice legs, Sir Jamie.
Grealish, Super Jack.
You got it.
Bless him. Other matches last weekend. So on Saturday, we had Brighton against Newcastle. Brighton win that 2-1 at home. Good result for them. They're pushing on. Newcastle possibly flattened to deceive a little bit, aren't they, so far?
Danny Welbeck. It's all about Danny Welbeck.
He's back to your place this weekend. But we said, Chris, didn't we, that Newcastle never do very well at Brighton. We said that. So it sort of was written in the stars, that, to be fair.
It was, mate. If only we put money on
long journey.
And Burnley, Leeds. Burnley getting the win at home, 2-0 against Leeds.
That surprised me.
Since we did the business against Leeds, then they've seemed to have fallen off a little bit, to be honest. I'm hoping that they're going to pick back up again. And who knows, this might be a start of a little run for Burnley. Who knows? I don't know who they're playing this weekend. We'll find out in a minute. But that was a fairly good result for them, I thought. And then we had Palace against Bournemouth. Obviously, Steve's team, Palace. And they were 2-0 down at one point.
Really like that.
And I stopped myself from messaging at that point to say, oh, you know, we'll keep your space warm for your mate, don't worry. Because obviously we were playing the next day. I'm glad I didn't. Came back to 3-3, and by the sounds of it, Palace should have won. Had open goal as well, right towards the end.
Had a chance right at the end, which you'd imagine him just to slip it in, and he hit it over the bar and he couldn't believe it.
Yeah, there's some really good strikers performances recently, and Mateta's one of those, and he's a really good player. I would love him at Spurs. I absolutely love him. I think he'd do a good thing for us. But we'll talk about that in a minute. City, Everton. Jamie, tell us about it. I did predict a 4-1, didn't I? It was a 4-1 and a 3-1, yeah. I think. So
4-1 and 3-1.
2-0. It was near half time, wasn't it?
Yeah, we did all right. Yeah. Did all right, but to be fair, Haaland's a difference. I know everyone says it, but he's a big difference in that. Between, you probably didn't have chance to watch it. If you did, you would have seen Beto sliding in at the back post, just missed one just before half time. Had another chance, Illiman and Jai again. And you don't get them goals, and then Haaland does what Haaland does, and that's a difference. I've forgot the stat now, but is it 40 goals this year in 30 games or something like that? It's insane again. So yeah, just a big difference. And apart from that, we was in it until that stage, and then he did his thing and we weren't. So yeah.
Quality. That's what it is.
He came off the back. Didn't he score? How many goals did he score for Norway? Didn't he score a whole load of goals for them during the week as well? Six goals or four goals or something?
Yeah. And then it took him off and he's
in red hot form, and you just, yeah. I think he score again last night, didn't he?
Not sure.
Yes. Two goals in the Champions League.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
I was too busy drowning my sorrows. Although we didn't lose. Okay, so we have Sunderland at home to Wolves. We said that Sunderland would be back on it. They won 2-0, so they're back on track. As we said, little blip before when they lost. They seem a solid team. Not letting many goals in. Yeah, not bad at all.
Physical team, hard to go to, yeah.
And then Fulham against Arsenal. Fulham's never a nice place to go to be honest, but for Arsenal... seemed from what I didn't watch it, but
I think it's the poshest football ground ever.
Quiet. Yeah. It's quite. I've been quite a few times. My brother's in Putney.
Lovely.
Beautiful
rows of Victorian houses, white fronted, beautiful. Go there. You got the Sloaney Pony. It's like super posh day out if you go to Fulham away. Bit cold on the terraces if you're away down next to the river.
Yeah. Not much atmosphere, Johnny. I don't know how many times you've been, but I didn't think there was much atmosphere when I went, to be fair.
That's because you're an Everton fan, mate. I've only been with Man United, so it's been absolutely on fire.
No,
anyway,
I mean home next. Fans, not away fans.
Because you can't really say bravo too many times and make it sound like you're shouting for your team.
Like you're trying,
bravo,
you're trying
bravo.
To shout for your team.
Well played, sir. Well played, sir.
Bloody good shot. Bloody good effort.
They think you as a home fan going there, Johnny, not an away fan.
There you go. So, you see, I'll sit in the home end.
Arsenal, I'm hoping the pressure will get to them, but they are ticking along nicely, aren't they?
Cruising.
They are ticking
along. I'll be honest, mate. There's a lot of Arsenal people I know and some people that I work with that will be very happy if Arsenal won the league. And actually, I don't mind if they do this season. Just I can't have City win and I certainly can't have Liverpool.
Well, I certainly can't have Arsenal winning, but...
Guessing your face there, Chris, you're not in agreement with that.
No. Given their dues, they are the form team. Even when not playing too well in sections, they don't let any goals in, and they sneak stuff. And you know, even in Europe, they're running amok, aren't they? So really, really decent. So that was Saturday. Sunday we had highs and lows. Highs and lows.
What was the first game?
The low we'll start with Spurs Villa, and it was another one where we've gone and actually had loads of possession and been in control in spells.
You were really good to start with.
Yeah, yeah. And then really just lost our way a little bit, let them come back into it. They've scored, especially the second goal was a fantastic finish, but should never have had the time to shoot from that range because he's a good player. We were really suffering from creating anything at the moment, and the creativity and the end result. And we've got some young players like Odobert, who I think will be a really good player, but he hasn't quite got it yet, regards to his final ball, making decisions right at the end. And Kudos, who has been playing really well, but the last two games, yes, in fits and starts, he's been playing well in those games, but I think... I'm hoping that the pressure isn't getting to him because he's your only creative source. You can feel it when watching, and I've had some friends who have watched him as well live, and they've said that the crowd just goes up another notch when he gets the ball because he is our only real threat. And then the problem is when he does put a ball in, you've got strikers who aren't good enough fundamentally, and that's, I'm always going to bang on about this until we get a new striker, hopefully Ivan Toney in January. That's who I'm waiting out for. Because he will be.
I see that in his press conference, people have been calling about asking about Brennan Johnson. They said, "Why are you not playing Brennan Johnson?" And he just said, "It's a great player, scores important goals for Tottenham, but at this moment in time, I pick the team." And that's pretty much what he said about him. So I think people want to see Brennan down the left. I think even if you're going to play Kudos on the right, play Brennan down the left is what I think.
He started last season off very well, didn't he? Scoring lots of goals, Brendan.
On the right,
that goal was him that scored in the final, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know, but that was a bit of a...
But he was playing. Sort of he was playing on the ball. Right. I think he's had his nose take out of joint a little bit with Kudos taking him. You know, he was our highest scoring player. I think
Kudos is a better player,
100% a better player. And I, although Odobert isn't the finished article, I would take Odobert over Johnson on the left purely because Johnson is so frustrating. He doesn't track back at all. He leaves gaps. I just think that's what. Thomas Frank's teams, they work bloody hard, and that's why Paulinho is doing really well and thriving in there because he works.
Yeah, what a signing.
What a signing.
I would have loved him at Man United, Poligno.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe he went to Bayern for a year and didn't get in the team that much. Unbelievable player.
Yeah,
maybe just made for the Premier League, you know?
Yeah, he'd do a job at any team. I'm talking like, obviously, Man United, Liverpool, anybody. Amazing. He would make a lot of difference. And we're just lucky to have him, to be honest. But end of the day, another loss. Frustrating. I think that's going to be us. You know, we'll be relatively hard to break down, but we will offer chances, and good teams will score against us. And you know, like in Europe at the moment, we're not against great teams, and we're struggling to stay goalless. Let them in. Yeah, it's going to be difficult.
Nick, your goalkeeper played well in Europe.
He did. Yeah, Vicario. I'm a fan for a shot stopper. I think he's amazing, but he just can't command a cross. But there's lots of keepers like that in the Premier League, to be honest. And then Liverpool, Man United. Liverpool. So I'm going to ask a question.
What happened in that game?
Yeah, I'm going to ask a question about that game purely because, do you think Liverpool had enough chances to win that?
Yes.
Should have. Yeah.
Don't know. We also had enough chances that we could have put it away before they even had some of their chances. But listen, they're a great team. There's no doubt about it. We rode our luck, but we had a game plan. It paid off. But you know, how many times have teams gone to somewhere and they've tried to do a low block or whatever, you know, you want to call whatever we did there, but and it hasn't paid off because the quality shines through in the end. And you know, yes, they hit the post a few times. We had a few opportunities where we should have scored. But, you know, it's all about putting them in the back of the net.
It is. Amazingly, so many Liverpool fans calling for Arne Slot's head, him to go. It's
really?
Crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
Mad. Do you know what the really horrible thing was, like last season? So the way I view football is I don't like Liverpool at all, not even slightly. And if they lose at the weekend and we win, it's a double punch of adrenaline for me that I feel like on top of the world.
I'm not that with Arsenal.
You're not having a lot of double hits at the moment, apart from
it's bad
not
times.
In your favour. Yeah, bad times.
Move on.
When Klopp left, who was remarkable, I was thinking, this new guy, I haven't really heard of him. He's going to come in. He's going to try and change things. It's all going to go wrong. You know, we're going to be fighting forward on the net, you know. But we had a disaster, and they obviously won the league playing some great football. And the worst thing about it was, not only was I getting my double kill, you know, like we were losing and they were winning, but Arne Slot is actually a really nice bloke. You know, he talked nicely, you know, he didn't get flustered. He's just a nice bloke and didn't kind of make things up. He was actually very likeable, and it was just like, that's even more annoying. So, maybe they'll just get fined out this season.
Jamie's shaking his head.
We'll never say that Arne Slot was a nice guy, but yeah, we'll move on from that.
Come on, you know when there's a person who's nice or not.
It's not a very nice thing to say if you're asking me, Jamie.
It's not, mate.
You've got nothing nice to say. Don't say anything at all.
Well, take heed. Take heed from your own words. Monday we had West Ham against Brentford, and Brentford winning 2-0. A lot of boos. A lot of negative.
We put
negativity
down
against
Fest, if I remember
West
right,
Ham,
didn't we?
By the supporters.
Someone said 0-0.
We said it was 0-0. You said 0-0, I think. Yeah. But Brentford, back on it.
Certainly didn't have a Brentford win now. I mean.
No, me neither. But I think they just haven't got going yet, have they, under Nuno?
He's only been in a couple of games, hasn't he?
He has.
Three now, I think.
He has.
Three.
And that was the first home game, I think.
West Ham have, you know, like you said, be careful what you wish for. Especially with Moyes and all the hassle he took after winning in Europe, and they'd probably take that back now, well, maybe they wouldn't. I don't know what they expect. We need to get a West Ham fan on here to give us a lowdown on what their expectations are for the season, really, because I think they're another one where they think they should be at a level, which most fans do, to be fair, but they're nowhere near it. Nowhere near it, and they won't reach it.
I think as a fan, if you can win a cup of any kind of variety these days, every now and again, it's lovely. You know, yes, if you can get up the league, yes, and you know, if you can get into Europe and get in one of those elite competitions, it can give you more money, blah, blah, blah. But then some of these teams that sort of get in, you've got to then have an extra backup of players and expense. And then if you don't get in the year after, it's not sustainable. So,
True.
I think that rounds up the weekend's results. Would you say that? I think Brentford are doing better than anyone thought they were going to do, to be fair.
Yeah, you're right, mate. You're right. I think you're exactly right. Obviously, they lost some players and obviously some really major players, to be fair, who are doing quite well now and other clubs, as you know, Johnny. And obviously their manager as well. But I think they've got the man in there who is a similar manager. You know, and the structures are the same. They're not trying to revolutionise anything they're doing there, are they? Are they going to do anything major in the league? Probably not by the end of it, but they're going to be safe, I guess. But I guess it's knowing your own limits, isn't it, really? If you're going to go in there and think suddenly because we've done all right in that season with Frank, that suddenly we're going to push on and be Champions League places and then push on to be in the Champions League and do really well out of it. That's something, as we see as Arsenal and a previous past podcast showed as well, is Arteta's success. Well, yes, he was to start off with, but at some point you have to be able to push on, and it's difficult, really difficult to do that, even if you're throwing shed loads of money at it. Brentford's the same. I think they know their level and they're a good community club, aren't they? Which I think they'll do well because of that. And it's the Leeds thing, isn't it, as well? End of the day, Leeds in particular, where they've got massive fan base, but they've already learned from the previous lessons how wrong it can go. Was it Champions League final down to?
Yeah, I think it was. Well, I don't know if they're not Champions League final, but they got the Champions League, didn't they?
They got the Rio's days. And that was,
I think, the teams coming out this season are going to give it a bit more of a go than the previous ones.
Yeah, we've said that. It's a really competitive league this year, much more than it ever has been. And you can see that from Leeds and even Burnley now beating Leeds as well. So I think they've already got more points than Southampton anyway. So Southampton were just... we knew when had them down to go up anyway in their semi-final of the playoffs. When I was watching that, I was like, crikey, they've got some okay players, but I couldn't see them winning that at all when they got through. So that's one-off games though for you, isn't it? Right, let's talk property. London property market. Give us the highs and lows. Hey. So how is the London market, Johnny? Often London is one of those ones where people say it's a country in itself, under the day, because it's totally different than the rest of the country, etc. And there is pockets of similarity, but is it the same as it was? Is it changed a lot from investors coming in from overseas, that kind of thing? How's it going?
No. I mean, obviously, you know, listen, London is a hub, a hub of the world. You know, everyone still comes in and out of here. It's very much sought after. I think one of the biggest problems, if we're talking on the residential side, if we sort of stick to that side of things, obviously, the cost to build has gone up since COVID. It's, you know, doubled or near enough doubled or whatever. And the land values haven't really moved that much. We've got, you know, I've got clients with land or buildings that they can't develop because the cost to build and the GDV of the scheme doesn't add up.
So not financially viable.
There's a lack of new stock coming available. And, you know, Asian buyers in particular are very keen on buying these apartments that are brand new, concierge, you know, not much work to be done, etc. And obviously these aren't being built. So that kind of the huge influx of overseas buyers, you know, that buy stuff for their kids, they're going to university. Where we're based in the West End, we've got a whole load of like really high-end universities like UCL, University College London, King's, etc. So, you know, there's a lot of people that come over and they say, oh yeah, you know, my parents are going to buy me somewhere. You know, to begin with, you just don't think it's possibly real. But actually, yes, you know, these people are being bought apartments because, you know, historically, somebody from Asia could buy somewhere. They could get it on an early, so they'll buy it off plan abroad, by the time that was then built, it would come to market. But this is sort of pre-2014 when the markets were still rising. You know, you could buy something off plan 2 years beforehand and you've exchanged on it. And then they what they'll do is they'll flip the contract on completion and they'll sell it to someone else and they'll make a profit, say 100 grand, 200 grand or whatever it was at the time. And I don't think they paid the full amount of tax on it as well, but they closed that loophole. But that's what a lot of that's why sort of, you know, these new homes were being sold abroad many, many years ago. So that sort of thing isn't happening. The government obviously cut down on people coming in, making those sort of turns. But the market in central London, in all honesty, hasn't risen since 2014. So the only thing I'd say on that is, you know, we've just had so many things in central London where, you know, obviously the stamp duty is huge for us, you know. So, you know, we've got properties of millions of pounds and stamp duty, even around £2 million, if you're moving home just to buy something at the same price, is £250,000 of stamp duty. So, you know, all of that 10 years ago stopped a lot of people moving around. You know, and historically, you know, we used to have a lot of people that would come in that would become a landlord. You know, I've got a one-bedroom flat. I want to buy something bigger. Can you rent my one-bedroom and I'll get finance on that and I'll buy a two-bedroom?
Has it not had a knock-on effect for the prices for, obviously, new builds not being built, et cetera? Has it not had a knock-on effect to the normal resi?
What, as in
increasing prices
rising up?
Demand.
Or, well,
yeah. Different buyers? Is that why? No demand?
There is still demand, and we've got a new scheme, like I expect 37 million GDV going live in March next year. It's in W1, just up the road here. And we've got a long list of people waiting for them when they come up. But ultimately, there's a ceiling price on those. We launched the phase one and we did get in excess of the asking price on the very best units when they first came to the market because we had a waiting list. But, you know, that commodity is very, very rare. You know, in reality, when you sort of blend out all the units, because obviously some of them will be better for different reasons, the price is about the same. It hasn't really changed. I was going to really say that out of all the prices, you know, if anything, perhaps new build does hold its value much better when it's new and when it comes to the market, because obviously after 10 years, it's not new anymore.
Those are the challenges then? Are they how are sort of fees and things like that? And are you still getting? Is it remained consistent what you've been charging over the last couple of years?
Relatively so. I won't go into what our average is and all that kind of stuff, but it stayed relatively the same. But I'm very lucky. I've got a very, very good team. You know, I've got some guys that have been around for a long time, and you know, when the market gets tough, they know what to do. You know, they haven't just learnt it in the last 2 or 3 years. Sign of a good agent. We just recently, I think for the previous quarter in Rightmove, we were the best selling agent in our area or whatever. So, you know, we're only relatively small and we're up against some very big hitters there. So that was obviously very nice. But it is purely, you know, our two main salespeople who, you know, the directors here, you know, one's a bit more kind of, give me your business now. And if that offends someone, then the other guy is the one that sort of says, you know, finds a commonality and loves people slowly into the right decision. So I've got a really good mix there of two really good guys, and the rest of the team are learning off them. And, you know, it's worked out very successfully. I'm very lucky to have them.
Where do you see the future of sort of the London market then in that case? I mean, obviously, who knows? Crystal ball depends on what the government does and taxes.
It really does. And obviously, you know, we've got this delayed autumn budget that's going to be next month sometime. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are just saying, I'm not doing anything until I know what's going on there. You know, we're still doing deals now. It's not that people aren't doing them, but I wouldn't be surprised if something really horrible came out that might affect some of those deals that are going through in the pipeline. But I've really got no idea what they've got in mind. you know, they keep throwing things out at us, and we keep finding ways to do business, and it will get to a point where I guess, you know, the customers will decide what they're going to do based upon whether they can afford it or not. But you can't, you know, the Labour's ideas of how many properties they're going to build with the price of land and the cost of build is just not realistic.
Crazy. Yeah. They're never going to meet those targets or anything like that.
Sorry. You said that without moving your lips.
Yeah, sorry, I've got a question for you. Obviously, when we used to speak, obviously when we was on the board and stuff like that, because obviously you were flabbergasted by chains and
I think we
mortgages.
We used to
say again. That again, sorry.
I said I thought we used to slur.
Yeah, that, exactly that. Yeah, but did we? Do you find is it still a lot of cash buyers or you were? Do you have fall throughs, or because you were obviously saying you were a lot of your people, damn, how many years ago it was now, but were basically cash buyers in no chain. Is that still a popular thing, or are you building chains or things that are happening in your market now or not really?
Yeah, a few more chains, but like not much. Not much, to be honest.
And your cancellation rate, is that high?
No, not at the moment, no. But I'm going to touch a table here because it's made of wood. But, you know, sometimes, you know, if you look at numbers rather than monetary amounts, that's low. But it's sometimes, you know, we'll do a big deal and a big deal falls out of bed and it's kind of a massive part of your pipeline. So, but if you actually look at the numbers are very low in regard to percentage-wise and under the average. But as you guys will probably know, the average deal is taking so much longer to go through now. In central London, we've got this cladding, you know, the cladding issue. We've got the new regulation on the fire, something or other, something. I don't know. I talked to the guys. There's a new legislation around fire, about buildings of a certain height. You know, there's so much. A lot of the stuff in the city that, you know, I was talking about off-plan stuff a few years ago. There's certain buildings where agents won't even take it on at the moment because, you know, until they've sorted out their cladding issues, because obviously a lot of these modern buildings were clad out, they won't even touch them because the amount of deals they were losing because at the time there wasn't enough cladding inspectors to go around, surveyors to go around. And obviously, you know, half the problem is they inspect, and then they find behind actually is a bigger problem because the metal that's holding it to the building is rusted, and therefore it all needs to come off. And then the people that have got these flats are having to spend loads of money. So, you know, buyer beware out there for that kind of stuff. And, you know, it just, but before Grenfell, there was just all these buildings were going out and being built like this. So,
no. Yeah, I mean, even on down to auctions as well, we still get that, and we get where we can sell.
Auctions are dead.
Auctions, they might be viewed.
Oh, I'm joking. Auctions.
For us, I mean, especially high-rise stuff, we can sell at auction, but you also struggle to get solicitors to act on your behalf to complete, because carte blanche, they've said, no, I won't deal on anything to do with, you know, over a certain amount of height. So it is difficult. And even if you've got, say, builders and developers who have said, yes, we agree, we will do this, it's our liability, it's not yours as a leaseholder, etc. The actual delay for those time periods for the work to be done is crazy. And you're somewhere down, obviously in Plymouth where I am, there's only a few firms who would do it, and they're backed up to the hilt, you know, we're talking years for it to actually get done. So it still leaves people in limbo about having to actually be able to do something with their own property, especially if they bought it at, say, for instance, 2007, when the market, you know, was pretty high, brand new build, where they're going to lose money on it anyway. So it's difficult times for people.
The worst thing is you're buying these flats and that, like you just said, Johnny, till that happened, you'd buy it without a second thought, wouldn't you? Wouldn't even give it a second. So it's not like you could even predict where we are now. It's a horrible position. I know there's a fund the government have got, but it leaves people in a position they never, ever thought they were going to be in. Nearly unsellable at times, to be fair.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well,
it's got to be hard. Especially, you know, there'll be people who probably wanted to move out during the COVID outbreak, you know, they couldn't move, or they would have had to have let it and then maybe, you know, rented somewhere outside of town. But they're all gradually coming back to work. I had a very interesting conversation with a lady earlier today, actually, on the phone, and she went, she goes, we're we're a pay company for EVs, she said, and we're looking to do this new thing where at the moment all of our staff are remote workers, and we're thinking about bringing them into the office. And then she carried on talking about other stuff, and I went back. I said, I've got to go back to you. I said, you know, this new thing you're going to do about kind of, I said, that's an old thing. You know, people did used to work in the office.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was quite funny.
How times change.
It's like one of those. It's only been a few years.
Yeah, just a few, but it's become the norm, hasn't it? So yeah, now it's a new thing. The old thing's a new thing. So
exactly.
Crazy. Okay. Do you have any more questions, Jamie, about London Market? Anything like that?
No, sorry, to be honest, my signal dropped out. So I'm actually looking forward to hearing what Johnny said. I was actually looking really
forward
to it.
It was boring. He didn't know anything. He really didn't.
It was all right. Okay. But I'll listen back to it because I used to love talking to him because like his market was, when I said about chains and mortgages, he would be like flabbergasted. So it's interesting to hear that the market's still moving and that he's still doing things, really.
So we do have chains. We have the odd ones, you know, with the odd ones that come in and, you know, but it needs to be relatively strong and short. But yeah.
It's great. I'm telling you, I'm still dealing with six in a chain, Johnny, up here. And
mate, as long as all six are yours, buddy, I'm very happy
for
you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, vendor on vendor is a big risk, though, if they go wrong.
Exactly.
But yeah.
Definitely. Johnny, how far from your office then do you actually, you know, what is your sort of reach there? What's your furthest sort of property? Do you walk to all your appraisals and properties?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we walk to all our. We do have a couple of. We have some bikes that we can jump on and use if we need to. If we need to get somewhere quick.
Hudson electric bikes.
It's over 100 metres.
They're not Hudson electric bikes. No, they are. I think we've still got the Boris bike keys. I don't use it. I've got a Brompton bike, which is a little fold up thing. So I can zip around the whole of London, look at buildings and all that kind of stuff and, you know, do all that kind of stuff, hold my bike in my hand, go in, shake someone's hand, you know, measure up whatever I need to do.
So you say a 2 mile radius, and what do you maximum?
Probably not. Residential wise, it's probably more like a mile and a half radius of the office. But that, you know, our areas will encompass Fitzrovia, Soho, Covent Garden, Bloomsbury and Marylebone. So.
And just give an indication about
not bad areas, Chris, are they, to be fair?
Mate, it's not bad areas, mate. Yeah, we've been around
Beach,
there.
Grimsby and Scunthorpe.
Good times. What about sort of numbers wise, are you doing them per year then, do you think, in transactions? Just to give an indication. Because obviously Jamie, you do X amount. I don't know how many you do.
Yeah,
on average.
Large volume we are.
Large volume.
That,
yeah. It's obviously yours.
We're a lower volume, but I couldn't even tell you, Chris, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Fine.
All I know is that what the magic number is, and as long as the magic number keeps going up, we must be doing something right for our customers. That's all I know.
End of the day, if you've got a good team around you, then you don't need to go
there.
Definitely. Fantastic. Good. Right, let's look ahead to the matches this weekend before we wrap up. So we've got Leeds versus West Ham tomorrow. Leeds at home, big match for West Ham. That they need to get something out of it, don't they?
I'm going to throw it out there, Chris. 2-1 West Ham. I was back in Leeds the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to go 2-1 West Ham for Johnny and his mates down there.
What do you reckon, Johnny? What do you reckon? Leeds at home.
A tough one.
Stronger.
Obviously, you know, I'm evidently not meant to like Leeds. I've got a good client at the moment that's a Leeds fan, so we had an interesting conversation. I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because Nuno needs to get something out of that game. Leeds will want to win their home games, especially against a West Ham team that haven't been in good form. I'm going to go 2-1 Leeds.
Interesting. I think you're probably right at 2-1. I'm going to stick with 2-1 as well.
I thought Leeds. You were going for a draw then, Chris, in between.
No. I don't have to do different, mate. I think Leeds are going to win that, definitely. It's just by how much. And I don't think there'll be many goals in it. I think they're quite tight, both teams, really. 2-1. Okay, great. Saturday, we've got interesting matches here. So Chelsea's against Sunderland, Chelsea at home. Chelsea won't have it all their own way, will they? But Casado is some player, so
should they cruise that, really?
They should do. But Sunderland aren't
2-1 Chelsea.
2-1, so it's quite close.
2-1 Chelsea, yeah.
I'll go 3-0 Chelsea.
I did think that, you know, weird you said that. I did think that. That's my
you didn't say it, did you?
I'm going to go 3-1 Chelsea because I think Sunderland will get a goal because I think Chelsea have got some mistakes in them. Newcastle at home against Fulham. Newcastle obviously didn't proposition at home anyway. They're much better at home. Fulham, always a good team, aren't they? They're well coached.
Newcastle had Champions League in the week. Mm. Where did they? Were they home or away in the week?
Home against Mourinho's Benfica.
Benfica, okay.
Yeah.
So a little bit of lag there, I guess. Tiredness.
3-1.
3-1 to Newcastle. Yeah. Interesting.
2-1 Newcastle.
Okay, I'm going for a 2-2 on that one. The old pools. Tick, tick. Okay, and then arguably one of the games of the day, Manchester United.
7-0.
Theatre of screams. Against Brighton at home. So Man United at home. That is a good matchup. Brighton.
He's put his hands straight away, Chris. I thought he's going to easily go for 3 wins on the bounce in the Premier League, and that bloke's going to get his hair cut at this rate. I can't remember his name, but yeah.
It's
5. He needs to get 5.
Is it 5, is it? I thought it was 3.
Yeah, it's 5. It's 5.
Oof. I'm going for a controversial 1-0 win for Brighton.
There's definitely more goals in it than that.
You would think so. That's why it's controversial. Carry on.
Well, I thought it was the away win that was controversial.
Okay.
Danny Welbeck scores the winner, right?
That's exactly what I'm going to say.
2-2. I'm going for
2-2.
Desmond 2-2.
2-2. Nice.
I'm going 3-2 Man United.
Love it.
Yeah, I think there's only going to be a goal or two in it. But yeah, you're right. It's either floodgates all tight. Great. And then Brentford at home to Liverpool. Liverpool back on form in some respects during the week, scoring the goals again. But Van Dijk is looking shaky. They're really easy to attack down the flanks. Kerkez hasn't got going yet. I don't know what's going on with him compared to what he was last season. So Brentford, Liverpool, Brentford at home. That's going to be hard to break them down. What do you guys think?
2-0 Liverpool.
So going for Liverpool. Good. Oh, Jamie's going to struggle to get anything which is positive about Liverpool, to be fair. The best he can do is a draw. He's nodding his head. Okay, what are you going for?
I hope Liverpool. I really hope Liverpool lose 2-0, but I just really
going to go for a 1-1. Yeah, I'm going to go for 1-1.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 1-1. I think it'll be tight.
I think. Slot dropped Salah, didn't he, yesterday or the day before when they played? And I think that Ekitike is much better. And I think what's his name got injured? That's the striker. What's his name? Isaac.
Their stronger
team will be with Ekitike in there, and I think they win 2-0.
It has. When Isaac wasn't playing when the season started, Ekitike was in there, and they looked a better team, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
But they are, on the counter attack in particular, easy to attack against. And like we said, Van Dijk is making mistakes. He's looking. It's a bit like me looking at a few of the Spurs players from back when we had Pochettino and a good team, and even Sonny as well. Sonny was similar to Salah. He's just not quite there. It's a shame. Okay, Sunday we've got Arsenal against Crystal Palace. Arsenal at home. That will be a good match. That and Palace are absolutely still in form, aren't they? That's going to be a tough one.
I'll go 2-1 Arsenal.
Yeah, I can. They are at home. They're strong. That's a good test for them, I think. Johnny, what are you going for?
It's a really tough call, this one, because like Palace are the kind of team that could go there and cause an upset and win 2-1. But Arsenal are digging out results at the moment. I think it'd be a really good test for them. If they get through this one, you know, and they end up winning. Yeah, Palace are good. 2-2.
2-2. I'm going to go for what you said, Johnny, 2-1 for Palace. And that's mainly because it's Arsenal. And I'd love them to lose. But just, I also can see Palace winning.
Yeah.
It's difficult for them to do it, but it won't be a high score, as in there won't be many more than one goal in it, I don't think. Villa then at home against Man City. I don't see them beating Man City, even though Man City are playing away. I can see Man City just got too much quality, especially in midfield. John McGinn, in my opinion, is showing a bit of age. He's still a good player.
Oh,
but
John McGinn, I think he's a good player.
He is a good player.
I'm going to go 3-1 City.
Yeah. I think that's probably right. There's two goals difference in it, definite. Johnny, same?
Going He can't backseat, can he? He can't do that.
No. Listen, it's not. I'm a realist. I just think Villa have started playing better, and Hooray Henry is actually. He should actually, from our conversation about Fulham earlier and the fact that I call him Hooray Henry, he should actually be Fulham manager. Yeah. I think Villa will turn up to that game and get something from it, a point, but I don't know. So I'll go for
2-1.
1-1.
1-1.
1-1.
There's more goals in it than that, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, 1-1. Okay. Interesting. Bournemouth then, at home against Forest. The Dyche era starts against Bournemouth at home, which
Bournemouth
is a really, really difficult start, isn't it? Really difficult
Bournemouth
start.
Bournemouth's going to smash them.
Yeah, I think...
Draw?
Saying
that, he was never good with Everton at Bournemouth, but I'm going to go for a draw.
You go for a draw. Okay.
What sort of draw?
I will go for a 1-1.
Nice. Johnny, what are you going for? 3-0 to Bournemouth, and I'm going to go for a 2-1 to Bournemouth. Then next, Wolverhampton Wanderers against Burnley. Wolves are at home. Burnley coming off a good win against Leeds, of course, last weekend, and Wolves kind of flattened to deceive. There's been matches where I thought, you know what, they're back, they're quite good. The manager's quite decent. He had that really poor run at the start of the season, didn't he? They are at home. Good bit of pressure, but they have backed him and they've signed a new contract as well, which again doesn't really mean anything in this world. But I can see that a draw. I'm going to go
1-1.
Yeah, 1-1. It's 1-1.
Yeah, I'll go with that as well, boys.
And then the match of the weekend, the big one, as they say, the late kickoff here at 4:30. Everton at home against sometimes mighty for 10 to 15 minutes and then we'll go in a lull. Spurs. There we go.
Oh, sure. On the screen at the moment, boys, I'm sitting in between you two on my screen. And all I can say is I just need to keep you two apart. So I can feel the tension in the air.
There's no tension.
I'm going to go for a draw.
What, no little ball? Ball draw?
No, goals.
There's a mistake in both teams. We are struggling to score.
I'll go for a 1-1, mate, on that. 1-1 draw.
I think it could be.
We haven't lost the home yet. We've got to lose sometime, but 1-1 draw.
I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Spurs, but we're getting lucky.
What Johnny thinks is they're absolute neutral. It's interesting what he thinks.
I reckon it's going to be 0-0.
Do you really?
I reckon it's going to be boring as hell. Yeah, it's going to be boring as hell. And I'll be having a doze on the sofa at 4:30 in the afternoon on the Sunday, but watching that one.
Yeah, I think if we go...
Thinking of you both.
If we go 2-0 down, like we have done previously in a lot of different matches...
Then I'll lose the bet, right?
It is a bet, but also we won't come back from that. One goal I believe we can come back from. I think the team's got fight and the structure's good, so it could be a 1-1. But I can't see us, even though I've said 2-1, I can't see us scoring more than two anyway. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. We will see. Bet for charity that. Great, that is the matches for the weekend. So there we go, guys. There we go. So, Johnny, thanks so much for joining us today.
That's all right. It's a pleasure.
Standing in. You can come on again. You went to, it was nothing like
this. You told me one and only.
No, I said you're the one and only, mate. Not this is your one. See what I've done
me
there?
Me and Chesney Hawks.
Bit of Chesney, lovely. Jamie, thanks once again, mate. Superb. And
it's nice to see you guys, actually. We should talk more often, really.
We should. It's good to talk.
Yeah, it's always good to talk.
Guys, thanks for listening to Property Premier League. I've been your host, Chris Mervin, ably assisted by Jamie Aspen, and today, Johnny Hudson. Thanks, Johnny. We'll be back next week with more insights and debates from the world of property and the beautiful game. They think it's all over? Well, you know the rest.